So Matthew 16, starting at verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." But he turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man." And then our passage this afternoon. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done. Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." So far God's word. Let's ask him for a blessing. Please pray with me now. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, help us now to focus on your word. Open our hearts. Speak to us through your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, it's a battle of wills that is often played out across the country. The rumble in the jungle. Two opponents against each other. An irresistible force versus an immovable object. It's the battle of the century. It's World War III. It's a three-year-old versus their parent. You see this battle played out time and time in the supermarkets, and as parents, you may have had that battle from time to time on your own. The three-year-old saying, "I don't want it," or "I want to do it my way." And when they don't get their way, they throw a tantrum, not a pleasant sight to see. And sadly, in today's child-centered parenting, this is played far too often up and down the country. But the truth is, there's a little bit of that three-year-old in every single one of us. It's our will versus everyone else's will. It's our will versus God's will. And so as we look at this request this evening of the Lord's Prayer, "Your will be done," we need to consider our wills. It's easy to pray, "Your will be done," but harder to live this out in practice. And this evening we're going to be considering what we pray when we pray, "Your will be done." And as we pray, "Your will be done," we are praying that we will deny ourselves and follow Christ. We are praying that we will deny ourselves and follow Christ. And we're going to be following and unpacking, in particular, verse 24. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." That's our three points this afternoon. Deny ourselves, take up our cross and follow Christ. Our first point this afternoon then is called to deny. Jesus begins by saying, if anyone would come after me, and I'm going to presume this afternoon, always dangerous to do, but I am going to hopefully safely presume that we want to follow Christ, that we do want to follow him. And Jesus then expands on what that means, what that looks like. He begins by speaking about let him deny himself. He says there in verse 25, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. We'll speak about losing our lives shortly. But it's the parallel that I want to consider firstly. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits or gives up his soul? That's a question to ask this afternoon. What does it mean to gain the whole world? What does saving one's life look like? What does saving one's life look like for a person of the world? What is a person of the world? What does the average person seek to gain? A comfortable life. A job that allows you to retire. A house that you can live in comfortably. Or recognition, a big bank account, and simply dying happy. And Jesus says, if that's your gain, if that's what you want, it'll be a total waste of time. All that work, all that effort will be in vain. We know the saying, don't we? You can't take it with you. When you die, you leave everything here, but you wouldn't think that when you look out there in the world. You depend on finding ultimate meaning and happiness by the things you can obtain, the relationships you can have here on this earth. Jesus is saying, ultimately, that will not give you satisfaction. That will be useless, hopeless, a waste of time. If that's all you focus on, you are putting your soul on the line. Instead of chasing these things, instead of following the world, Jesus calls us to a different path. He says, let a person deny himself. What does that mean practically? What does it mean to deny ourselves? Well, for husbands, it means that we sacrifice ourselves for our wives. Not easy for us men to do. For wives who are often so much better at sacrificing than our men are, is the call to submit to your husbands. Again, we're seeing here, not our will, but someone else's will, considering others before ourselves. If you are retired, you are called to deny your own pleasure, your own ambitions, and to bring everything that you have and your time and whatever you have into the service of God's kingdom. Teenagers, denying yourself means that you don't see yourself as the center of the universe. As you make your choices with regard to study, as you make your choices with regard to career, as to where you are going in your life, you are called to consider that in relation to God's will for your life, not what you want to get in your life. God's plan, God's kingdom for all of us, single, married, divorced, widowed, placing God's will first. When we think first of all of our own comfort, our own leisure, our own enjoyment before God's will, we aren't denying ourselves. Now, we are allowed to enjoy the blessings that God gives us, but that should never be an end in itself. It's a radical thought that Jesus gives here, abandoning the world's priorities and rather putting God's will first. It's a big ask. It goes against our nature because we all want to look after number one, put ourselves first. If you would follow me, Jesus said, deny yourself. And then secondly, he says, take up your cross take up your cross. Now, I alluded to it earlier here, but here we need to understand the context of the passage that we're looking at. We began reading in verse 13, and Jesus asked, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And Peter gives this wonderful confession of who Jesus is. And Jesus commends Simon for his confession of faith. And then in verse 21 and following, Jesus begins to tell his disciples that Jesus is going to die. He denies himself. He places his life on the line. Peter has just had this wonderful moment of brilliance. And then he hears Jesus saying that he's going to die. And perhaps emboldened by how the kudos that he just received from Jesus, he decides and takes it upon himself to take Jesus aside, to rebuke him and say, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you." And Jesus rightly rebukes Peter. And so as we come to verses 24 through 28, what's it in the back of Jesus, what's in Jesus' mind and what he wants his disciples to see, that Jesus is saying to them, "You will follow my path of suffering in life. You will follow. And many of you may well face death at the hands of persecution. You must follow the same path, not your will, but God's will, as Jesus says, I have done, as I have followed." Now, no doubt we've heard the phrase, we need to take up our cross, and sometimes we make a joke about it. You know, sitting here this afternoon in the heat is our cross to bear. I thought about making that joke, but I'm just about to tell myself off for thinking that. So we say things like that. Oh, we have to carry our cross. But to a Jewish person, listen to Jesus speaking, this was no laughing matter. Because the image that would come to their mind is the cross that the Jews were crucified on by the Romans. A death that God himself had cursed in Deuteronomy. A horrible death, a painful death. And Jesus was asking his disciples, "Are you willing to go that far? Are you willing to die for me?" Now, not many of us, or if any of us, will have to answer that question. Lord willing, none of us will have to die for the faith. But we may well face suffering. In fact, we do face suffering as a result of sin in the world. And part of the cross we do bear is living in a sinful world. Living in a world, as we were reminded this morning, that hates the gospel. But there's another aspect that I came across as I was studying for this passage. To a Jewish person, the cross not only meant death, it not only meant being cursed, but the cross also had the meaning of shame. The meaning of shame. The shameful walk that you were faced to walk as you carried your cross up to that hill outside Jerusalem. The shame of being crucified naked on that cross. The shame of having a death that God himself had cursed. So as well as asking, as Jesus asking, "Will you die for me?" He was also asking his disciples, "Are you willing to face shame for me? Are you willing to be ashamed for me?" And that's a question that starts to hit home a little bit more, isn't it? What's one of the things that stops us witnessing? Isn't it because we don't want to stand out? We don't want to be rejected? We don't want to be made fun of? And Jesus is asking us here, are you willing? Are we willing to take up our cross? Are we willing to face shame for the gospel? Are we willing to stand out? To follow his will? To live the gospel of Christ? To be the gospel of Christ rather than seeking comfortable lives and seeking the world's gain? Called to deny. Called to take up our cross, but also thirdly and finally, called to follow Christ. Now, before we get into our point, I want to deal briefly with verse 28. Jesus says there, as he speaks about these things, "Truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." The simple way to understand this verse is that this came true in a number of ways. It came true in the next chapter for Peter, James, and John as they saw Jesus Christ in his glory transfigured on the mountain. It was true too in the book of Acts as some faced death. Some of the apostles were martyred. Stephen was martyred too, although whether Stephen was here in this crowd or not, we're not sure. But some would see God's kingdom expand, would see it going throughout the world. But back to the main point of following Christ. And at this point, as we see we're called to follow Christ, we need to ask ourselves a question. Why would we want to follow Christ? Why would we want to follow Christ? I mean, I haven't painted a very positive picture here yet this afternoon, have I? Deny yourself. Don't go your own way, go God's way. Don't place importance on the things that the world tells you are important. Be willing to take up your cross. Be willing to face shame and ridicule for the sake of Jesus Christ. Deny yourself. Place others first. Miss out. Face shame and rejection. Why would we want to do that? Well, Jesus gives us the answer here in our passage. Verse 27, "For the Son of Man is going to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay each person according to what he has done." Why suffer? Why die? Why face shame? Why follow Christ? Because of the rewards that are there for us, eternal rewards. Jesus is reminding his disciples and reminding us that there's so much more than the things that fade away in this life. There's so much more than our earthly life. We have a glorious, eternal life awaiting for us. That's why Jesus is returning. He's returning to bring us home. The first picture we have here, and the picture we're meant to see, is there in verse 27, of Jesus coming with his angels, repaying each person for what he has done. The idea here is one of judgment. Jesus is coming, and there's a time coming when everyone's deeds will be listed and will be on display for everyone. What does that look like? How does it look like? We're not sure. We don't know how that's going to work. But everyone's deeds, good and bad, will be accounted for. And for those whom Christ has not died for those who have rejected God, who have said, "My will be done," rather than "God's will be done," they will actually get their way. They've lived their lives saying, "My will be done." And where will that take them? Away from God. They will get what they asked for. Away from blessing, leaving only curse. Essentially what they've done, if they've lived their own life, if they have not accepted Jesus Christ, if they have rejected him, is they have had their best life now here on earth. This is it. The things that people seek for and the things that will end up in nothing will be all a waste of time. But that's what they're asking for. But for us, for those who do belong to Jesus Christ, the judge himself will step in. And as our deeds are listed there, as our failings are listed there, the judge himself will say, "Paid for. All sins paid in full." We have been saved. We will be repaid according to the deeds that Jesus Christ has done. His perfect obedience on our behalf. Christ, his words, his work, I should say, his serving God perfectly. Those are the deeds that Christ, that God will see. Christ's obedience for us. Is it easy to answer this call? To deny ourselves, to take up our cross, to follow Jesus Christ? No, it's not easy because of that rebellious three-year-old within us. That daily battle within our wills where our old sinful self wants to follow our own way. Let's face it, God's will can be hard. It is hard to follow. It's hard to deny ourselves. It's hard to be willing to face shame, living for a reward that, yes, we do taste in part here, but that we need to wait till eternity to fully enjoy. So we do need to pray this prayer often, the Lord's Prayer. We do need to pray, your will be done. And as we do that, we're asking God, saying, I need help, like that three-year-old who wants my own way, who wants to do itself, who wants what we want. Instead, Heavenly Father, bend our will to yours. Help us to realize, as we confessed this afternoon together, that we don't belong to ourselves, but that we belong to you, Jesus Christ. That because of that, all of our sins have been paid for. That because of that, we have him watching over us in such a way that we can't be harmed. That nothing can happen to us without the will of our Father in heaven, his will being done. In Luke's version of the story, Luke has a slight difference in what Jesus says to Matthew. He looks at things from a different angle. It's there in our passage, but Luke makes it clearer. Luke says, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself daily and take up his cross and follow me. I might have quoted that slightly wrong. Daily is in there. I'm second guessing myself now. Let me have a look here. Luke 9, verse 23. Make sure I get this right. And he said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. The idea there is daily. This isn't just a one-off thing where we deny ourselves once, take up our cross once, and then go on and follow him. No, this is something we need to do daily, every day, often through the day. Day in, day out, we need to consciously seek God's will, not our own. We need to say, have thine own way, Lord. Not my will, not my way, but yours be done. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mould me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only always living in me. Let's stand now and sing these words together. Let's turn and now sing to the Lord, to number 468. Have thine own way, Lord. And then we'll pray after that. So let's stand and sing number 468. Sing all four stanzas.